This is Communion Sunday. And I have said on a number of occasions, Sunday school can be dismissed, those of you who are going to Sunday school. As I have said on many occasions, that this is a special Sunday. It's a Sunday that I would suggest, if you're going to choose one Sunday out of the month to come, it would be this one, fourth Sunday. I don't suggest you do that. But if I were going to recommend one Sunday out of the month, it would be Communion Sunday. It's a special Sunday, and we're trying to make it more special each month. This is like a time out. Communion Sunday is like a time out. It's like halftime at a football game or a basketball game. It's a time to reset. It's a time to refocus. It's a time to recalibrate our thinking about what all of this that we're doing every week is all about. That's what Communion Sunday is all about, and that's why I recommend that you never miss one. And I want to begin today's message with a question. Where do you imagine you are with the Lord today? Where do you imagine you are with the Lord today? If I were to bring you up here, and I'm not, but if I were to bring you up here and ask you to tell us where you are with the Lord, what would you say? Just think about that for a moment. Would you say you're in a place where you're feeling sharp or dull? Would you say that you're fervent, zealous? Or would you say that you're sluggish? Would you say that this past week I was like, I wish everybody could have seen me? Or is it more like, when I think about this past week, I'm glad nobody saw me. Where would you say you are with the Lord this morning? You feel like you're gaining, or do you feel like you're fading? Where are you this morning? You see, those may be descriptors about how you're feeling. They may even be accurate descriptions of how you have performed this past week. But they aren't descriptions of where you are. None of those are descriptions of where you are. They don't describe your status. They don't describe your place. And that's what I want to remind you of today. Today's message is titled, Status Check. Where are you? Nope. Correction. It's not a question. Status check where you are with the Lord. Status check where you are with the Lord. And if you're taking notes, here's the main idea. Because of Christ, you are a member in perfect standing with the Lord. Because of Christ, you are a member in perfect standing with the Lord. Now, that may sound familiar to you, and you may think that this message is going where you think this message is going, but let me tell you, it's not. Because we're going to look at the new covenant, but there's an aspect of the new covenant that we rarely consider, I'm convinced. And that's what I want to talk most about. But first, I'd like you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 40 through 41. Because I'd like to review why this is the case, why you are a member in perfect standing with the Lord today. Jeremiah 32, 40 through 41. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 40 and 41. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. Thank you, Jesus. This is the covenant under which every believer in Christ now lives. Every person who has put his or her faith in Jesus Christ now lives under this covenant. And it has created for us, all of us, nothing short of an astonishing place of eternal blessings. And I want you to consider with me this morning just a few of its provisions. The first thing that this covenant offers us, the first thing the Lord says about it is that it's an everlasting covenant. It's everlasting. Everlasting means that we cannot be disqualified from it. It is always applicable to us. Communion Sunday is a celebration of this everlasting covenant that was put into effect by Jesus, who also called it the new covenant in my blood, which we find in Luke 22, verse 20. It's also the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's a covenant that's based on the work of Christ, not our own works. It's a covenant that stipulates that whoever believes in it, believes in Christ. What that means is relies on him as your Savior, not just believe that he exists. Whoever trusts in his blood as the payment for their sin, whoever believes in him, whoever relies on Jesus as their Savior, not on their good works, not on their charming personality, not on how well their week went or anything of their spirituality, their church going, their Bible knowledge, whoever believes in him is brought into this new covenant. According to Colossians chapter 1, God has qualified us, it says. He's qualified us. We didn't qualify ourselves. He qualified us through the blood of Christ. What does this mean? It means that one of the provisions of this everlasting covenant is that I never, ever need to be insecure again in my entire life in my relationship with God. That's part of the covenant. If you're feeling on shaky ground in your relationship with God, it's because you've forgotten certain aspects of the covenant under which you live now as a believer. There is never ever a time, there is never ever a reason for you or I, if you have trusted in the blood of Christ, to feel shaky or tentative or afraid or ashamed or skittish or squeamish or squishy or any of the other words you want to use, anything but solid. If you're feeling anything but solid, you've forgotten that it's an everlasting covenant. It's not a temporary one. It's not a covenant as long as you don't sin. It's everlasting. That means it lasts forever. And the covenant is in his blood. That's what he said it's in. This is the new covenant that is in my blood poured out for you. That's the condition. It's not our performance. The second thing that this covenant offers us. He says, I'm going to never stop doing you good. You can't stop me from doing good. I will never stop doing you good. Wow. Are you sure that's what it says? I think that's what I read. I think that's what it says. Never stop doing us good. The Lord also promised to never stop doing us good, and it's part of this everlasting covenant. In Romans 8, 28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. This is a companion verse, but I like this verse equally because, you see, he doesn't just wait for bad stuff to happen to turn it into something good. This says, I'm going to relentlessly, continuously do you good. That's all I'm going to do in your life. I won't ever stop. You can't turn me back. You can't turn me away. If you're under this new covenant, I have nothing to do with you. I will never stop doing you good because of the blood of Christ. The challenges of life are great. Amen? Amen. Anybody here got a great challenge? God is doing a great thing. And he's doing a great work. But the world is working me over. The challenges of life are great. But his goodness is greater still. His goodness is greater still because he works all things, including the challenges, together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. You know, I can certify before you today, standing here as your pastor, as your brother in Christ, I can certify for you today that I have made some big messes that he has turned into incredible blessings. And I can certify that he has surprised me with his goodness when I least expected it and when I least deserved it, quote unquote. Not that I ever deserve it, but I can say, amen. I've experienced this relentless pursuit of me to do me good. Why? Because I'm under the new covenant. I'm under the everlasting covenant in his blood. You see, this is not a promise where it says God causes all things to work together for good. It is not a promise for everyone. It's not. It stipulates. It says God causes all things to work together for the good of who? Those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Now, his grace and mercy floods the earth. His mercy floods the earth. He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. God does wonderful things. But this particular promise in Romans 8 is for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the reason it's for us is because it's under the everlasting covenant, where he says, I will never stop doing you good because of the blood of Christ. Not because we're better. Not because we're more spiritual, because we know more Bible, because we walk around holy and sanctified. No, because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. It doesn't mean that he says, I'm never going to stop doing good. It doesn't mean there won't be bad times, even awful times. It means that he'll use the bad times for good purposes. He says, I will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. But in order to see the roadways in the wilderness, where do you got to be? Wilderness. In the wilderness. How are you going to see a roadway in the wilderness if you're not there? He can do it all day, but unless you're in the wilderness, you won't see it. How are you going to see a river in the desert? Where you got to be? In the desert. That's where you got to be. So he's not saying you won't ever have a wilderness. You won't ever have a desert. He's saying, I'm gonna do something when you're in the wilderness. That'll surprise you. I'm going to do something in the desert that will surprise you. See, I've been in the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness, and I've been in the desert, and I know what he can do. through personal experience, I've come to believe this. Nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing can separate me from his love, even if I am separated from everything I love. That is what I have come to understand, believe, and have seen with my own eyes, that nothing can separate me from his love, even when I am separated from everything that I love. And his love is enough. The third thing that this covenant offers us from these verses says, I'm going to inspire them to fear me. I'm not going to scare them. I'm not going to threaten them. I'm not going to make them. I'm going to do something different. See, this is the new covenant. This is the everlasting covenant. I'm going to operate differently. I'm going to do something inside of you that works on your want to. That fixes your I don't want to. That tempers your I ain't. I'm going to inspire you to revere me. I'm going to show up in your life in a way that is going to be irresistible. I'm going to show up. I'm not going to do hocus pocus. I'm going to inspire you by just being me and letting you see me for who I am. I really appreciate this gift that I got from Brother Don. I keep it downstairs in my devotional room where I spend my meditation times with the Lord often in the mornings. And it just says inspire, inspire. And it says to encourage somebody to greater effort, enthusiasm, or creativity. To awaken a particular feeling in somebody. The Latin means to breathe. Many of you knew that. But this is what he's saying I'm going to do. I'm going to get inside of you and I'm going to give you a different motivation. I'm going to operate in you in such a way that I'm going to create an awe for me, not because you're scared of me, not because I've threatened you, but because I am just that magnificent. And I'm going to let you see how magnificent I am so that you're going to want to be like me. You're going to want what I want. You're going to think like I think. You're going to become like me. You see, this is the work that God is doing in us. The work that God is doing in us is not just taking off the dross and taking the barnacles off of us. No, he's creating a new spirit, a new way of looking, a new paradigm, a new way of understanding the world, new appetites. That's a great work. I'm going to inspire you to fear me. In Ezekiel, see, this isn't the only place. Listen to what Ezekiel says. This is Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. I will give you a new heart. See, this is part of that. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws, because I'm placing inside of you a part of me. I'm putting all of me, rather, into you, my spirit. And this is, of course, a reference to the Holy Spirit, which, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had been given to all of us to indwell us forever. And his job is to glorify Christ. That's his job. You know, that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to glorify Jesus, to make him bigger in our understanding, to make him bigger in our vision, to make him more glorious, to make him more marvelous, to make him more magnificent to us. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. And he continues to beckon us nearer to him. And I was just thinking the other day, Lord, what an amazing gift. Wow, what an amazing gift is the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for him in my life. I don't think about him as often as perhaps I could. But he's the difference. His presence is the difference in us. He's the reason why we are inspired to fear the Lord, to revere him, reverence him. Another verse under this inspire them to fear me is Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. It says, now the God of peace, again, Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. It says, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, listen to this, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Who's doing the working? Is it you doing the working? Who's doing the working according to this verse? Oh, there's a mystery involved because Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in you. What are you talking about, Paul? Is it me or is it God? You're telling me to work out my salvation because God is at work. Yes, it is. It is God at work in you. And yes, you are working along with God. Yes. Because you know what it is? It's called a relationship. You see? And you don't have to split hairs on it. You just get to know me. I'll show you what's yours and what's mine. Right? I'll show you what's yours and what's mine. And that's what he does. You know, sometimes you think you're doing it, it's him doing it. And other times he's pushing you along to do it. I'm here. Go ahead. And other times he's, come on. That's how it works. It's part of a relationship. It's what he's doing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Ah, gosh. And it's for real. I sit back sometimes and I say, you know, where I am in my life and what's going on in my life and where I am with the Lord, I didn't make it up. I couldn't have imagined it. I'm crazy, but I ain't that crazy. You know, I mean, this really has happened to me. He has really happened to me. And he's continuing to happen in me. I'm going to inspire them to fear me. You see, you're here because the Lord inspired you to be here. Now, some of you say, well, I'm here because Mama made me come. But you know what? God inspired your mama to tell you to come. I'm here because honey told me to come. God inspired honey. Honey could be asking you to go someplace else. Didn't have to be asking you to come to church. God has placed honey in your life. God has placed those parents in your life to draw you to a place of inspiration in him. Like Paul, you know, our pursuit of the Lord, we think we're chasing after him. But the truth of the matter is, our pursuit of the Lord is really a response to his pursuit of us. That's really what it is. You know, we think we're just running after him, but the reality is that we're just responding to his call. This almost brought me to tears as I was thinking about my own journey, how I was out there just, I don't know what I was looking for. Well, I do know now, but I was just out there. And finally, one day I called upon the Lord and I realized this past week that I called upon the Lord because he'd been walking behind me all my life, whispering, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Hey, Danny, it's me, it's me. And one day I recognized his voice and I said, Lord, where you been all my life? Like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And not only am I content, I'm grateful to be so. Because that gives me confidence for the future when I realize that he's the sponsor of my present. It gives me confidence for the future. And I just say to the Lord, Lord, I simply and sincerely want to thank you for all you've done to bring me to this place with you and in you. You keep on calling my heart and my heart keeps on responding. How is that? I've been looking back over journal entries and I see, you know, I can't remember all the specific things you did, but all I can say is that you've done a lot. And you have continuously hunted my heart and continued to woo and draw me. You've continued to inspire me. No matter how rough you think your life has been, you're here because the Lord gave you enough to continue to believe that he's in the picture. That's why you're here. He's given you enough. He's inspired you to fear him. You sit down and talk to some of these brothers and sisters who've known the Lord for years and years, and they talk about the journey. They talk about the struggles. They talk about the ups and downs and the stuff that they share that they've been through in their lives none of us would want. But somehow the Lord met me there and took me someplace else and has brought me here. Somehow, I don't know how. But he's not going to stop. You see, this is the hope. He's not going to stop. Whatever tricks he used, he's got more tricks. I want you to look at your view from my place in your bulletin with me. Still under this, inspire them to fear me. Because you see, this is the part that I was saying, this is the least part of the new covenant that we consider, perhaps, is the work of the Holy Spirit continuing to inspire us. That's part of the covenant. When we think of the new covenant, many times we just think about the Lord dying for us, which, hallelujah, the rest of it wouldn't exist if he didn't. So we think about that part of it. We think about the resurrection and we say hallelujah, and true, the rest of it wouldn't exist if there was no resurrection. But there are other stipulations. I mean, there are other elements to it, and this is one of them. I'm going to inspire you. I'm going to work in you in a way that is going to make you respond differently. The view from my place, experiencing the immensity of his love. I wrote, morning by morning, the Lord serves us warm and fresh expressions of his love in infinite variety. Sometimes it's through the wonders of nature. Other times it comes in the form of an inspiring reminder of his promises. It may manifest itself in an encouraging word or a reassuring hug. We may experience it in his timely provision. Sometimes it comes through a much needed word of caution or protection from a harmful situation. Yesterday, Tuesday, I sampled its power and its immensity. While spending personal time with him in thanksgiving for the glorious life he is to me, for indeed he is my life. Now let me tell you, let me pause for a second. The rest of the story is this. I was also lamenting the loss of my brother. And I was lamenting his loss. I was lamenting the fact that I couldn't pick up the phone and call him up and talk to him about anything and everything at any time. And I was thinking, where am I going to find a relationship like that? Where am I going to replace that kind of connection, that connectivity? Even though he and I hadn't contacted or talked to one another in a while after he got sick. But that was a relationship that I always had hopes would resurrect in some way and that we'd be able to return to that former glory of just lightning fast communication and just interaction and connection. So I was thinking about this. Where am I gonna find that kind of love? And then a love flowed into my heart, a love for others that I immediately sensed was much too big to be my own. It was like a tidal wave engulfing anyone and everyone in its path, regardless of my personal experiences with them. It didn't matter whether they received it, rejected, or reciprocated it. Their response simply didn't matter. Like I said, it definitely was not my own. It covered the people who have wounded me without apology. and it made my love for the people I cherish even greater and purer. It was a surprising taste of just how great a love we've been drawn into to experience and to dispense to others. A love that is not our own, but the indomitable love of God. A love so enormous and unconditional, it covers all of humanity, demonstrating indeed that the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. If love is what the world needs, and if love is the deepest longing of the human heart, I was blissfully reminded of the truth that God is love. He is its ultimate source. It follows then, the more we seek to know him, the greater we will know his love. And the Lord's message to me through this was this. No, I don't communicate with you like your brother. I'm not a man. I'm not a human being. But remember this, Dan, I communicate on far more levels than your brother ever could. I don't need words. I don't need words to inspire you. I don't need words to inform you. I don't need words to guide you. I am in you. And as the covenant says, I will move you. Have you ever been moved from point A to point B without a whole lot of dialogue? You just found yourself in a different spot? A different change of spirit, of attitude, of mood, of perspective? And there wasn't a whole lot of written stuff that necessarily did it. It was just the Lord touching your spirit. That was inspiring. Think about your own relationship with the Lord. What exquisite craftsmanship the Lord has built into your relationship with him. Have you noticed the personalization, the customization, the specialization of your relationship with him? Have you stepped back and thought about what he's up to in you? Have you thought about how he's designed and working in your life? Have you thought about the uniqueness of his work in you? How about the supreme love etched in every detail? Have you experienced the unique features especially designed to give you a secure and steady ride through the challenging and uncertain terrain of another week? There isn't another relationship like it on earth. It was made exclusively for you to deepen your trust in him and enhance your intimate knowledge of him. Nothing on this earth is better. No one can steal it, you can't break it, and nothing can damage it. It was built to last forever. And that's what he's doing to inspire you under the new covenant. Crafting his unique interaction with you, his unique relationship with you. And the final provision, it says, he will rejoice in doing them good. The Lord's attitude toward giving us these blessings is not begrudging. Instead, I will rejoice in doing them good. It gives him joy to do us good. We don't have to twist his arm. It gives him joy to do us good. And you can see this. You know how you can see it? Laverne was so excited to give our granddaughter. She just had her first birthday. She was so excited. She goes through the catalog and she sees this gift. She points at that one. She says, that's the one. She orders it. It comes. We go over to our son and daughter-in-law's house to deliver the gift. Baby was asleep. She'd had a fever and the baby was asleep. And so the parents open the gift. My son and our son and daughter-in-law, they open the gift. And not only was Laverne excited, but they were excited. They were like, oh, she'll love this. She just loves to bang. It was a little xylophone that does all kinds of little stuff, you know. Oh, she loves to bang. And what's going on here? It wasn't Laverne's gift. It wasn't my son and daughter-in-law's gift. It was the baby's gift. So why are they jumping up and down and rejoicing about it? It's not your gift. You know why? Because they were thinking about the joy it was going to give the baby. You see, so God has given us glimpses of his joy. He said, I'm going to rejoice to do you good. It's going to make me jump up and down to see you jumping up and down. Of course, my son, he does like to play with their toys, or with his daughter's toys. So while we were there, he was playing with one of the toys himself. So maybe some of that joy was because he thought, oh, boy, this is going to be fun. You know, kids always are an excuse to go back to your own childhood and play with the toys without looking ridiculous. But that's the kind of joy the Lord has in rejoicing and doing us good. And so get the picture of the Lord. The Lord is wise in his giving, which is why he doesn't give us everything. The Lord is wise in his giving, but he's abundantly generous and joyful in his disposition in giving. And so if he's not giving it, it's not because here you come again. He says it twice. I'm never going to stop doing you good. And then just so you get it, he says it again in a different way. I'm going to rejoice in doing you good. You see, so it's not just I'm going to do it because I gotta or I oughta. I'm going to rejoice in doing you good. And the last part of this particular expression of the covenant says, I'm going to faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. That's yet to come. That's going to be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom when Jesus comes to earth and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem, in Israel. In the meantime, brothers and sisters, my dear loved brothers and sisters, the ones for whom I pray and my heart is full, don't worry about it. Don't wonder. Don't wonder about where you are with God. Know where you are. Know where you are. And know based on truth. Because see, you're going to wake up some days and you're going to feel like you're on the outs. And you're going to feel like, what did you say at the beginning, Bobby, as he was going to call the worship? You may feel however, whatever he said, yes. You may feel that way. That is not where you are. Where you are is under the ark, under the umbrella, in the embrace of the everlasting arms. And you are a beneficiary of the everlasting covenant. And that is what we need to rehearse in prayer before the Lord. That is what we need to meditate upon when life comes raining down in all of its horrific ways. I am a participant. I am a son and daughter of the Most High God living under the everlasting covenant because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And here is where I am. These things tell me what's really going on. Even in the midst of the circumstances that I'm experiencing. No matter what the flesh says, because your flesh will tell you stuff. No matter what the devil says, because the devil will accuse you, it's what he does. No matter what the world tells you, God has already told you who you are and where you are. The everlasting covenant by his blood. Never going to stop doing you good. Can't stop me. I'm going to inspire you to revere me. I'm going to keep on doing it too. I'm going to keep on showing up and showing you me. I'm not going to stop. You may take a break. You may turn off. You may peter out. But you know what? When you sit down, guess who's sitting right beside you? When you lay down, guess who's laying down right beside you? When you throw your hands up and start walking away, guess who's walking right beside you walking away? I'll go with you. Let's go. I'm never going to stop doing you good. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to go away. I got you. I got you. And now we're going to have communion. I'm done.